Are you redeemed tonight? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the name of Jesus Christ. I am redeemed. My sins are washed away. The price has been paid. I am redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and worship the Lord. I'm redeemed. Say, I am redeemed. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember the weight of sin. I remember the darkness and the confusion that came with it. And I remember the day when I was baptized in Jesus' name and my sins were washed away. I came up out of the water and I changed my clothes. And for some reason, everything was a little bit brighter. And everything felt a little bit lighter. Because I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. Bought with a price, the Bible says. Jesus paid that price with His blood on Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Revelation, the first chapter. And we're going to read the first two verses. Hallelujah. Sometimes we forget when we've been in this thing for a little while what it felt like. Actually, it was this time of year when I first started getting an understanding that Jesus loved me. Hallelujah. It was Christmas time, was my first Pentecostal church service. Brother Grant started teaching me a home Bible study. And it was making changes in my life because I realized that as far as God was concerned, there were some things that were wrong. So I moved out of that house where I was living. Amen. And on May 1st, 1980, I was baptized in Jesus' name by total immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent and signified by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, God, minister your word here to us by your spirit, by your power. Reveal yourself to us. Reveal your word to us. Reveal to us, O God, our own hearts and minds, that we may surrender our lives and our will to you, that we may grab and take hold of the exceeding great and precious promises of your word. Do all this, God, by your Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. My Bible says that this is called the Book of Revelation, or the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the first time I was exposed to this book It was in a different Bible. And that Bible gave the title The Apocalypse of John. Now, when we use the word apocalypse in our modern day vernacular, it brings up a lot of images for a lot of people. The word apocalypse, to a lot of people, it means end time. It means, it's a term that's synonymous with scenes of terrible judgment and great suffering and cataclysmic situations. Fire raining down from the sky and large chunks of ice and hail falling on the earth. And that's what the word apocalypse means to a lot of people. When we read the book of Revelation, automatically people want to talk about end time prophecy. But the Bible says it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of judgment. Not the revelation of suffering. But the revelation of Jesus Christ. To John the Apostle. The Bible says he bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. When I talk to people about my faith, when I talk to people about my God, when I talk to people about my religion, I want to talk to them about the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. My testimony is not a great time of suffering in the tribulation period. That's not my testimony. That's not what Jesus Christ has been revealed to me as suffering. He's been revealed to me as a Savior. Hallelujah. He's been revealed to me as the Word of God, as the truth, the way, the light. He's my salvation. He's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ in my life. He bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. God revealed himself to his faithful and trusted servant, John the Apostle. Oh, I want to be faithful to God. I want to have the testimony of Jesus Christ evident in my life. I want to bear record of the word of God. Hallelujah. I want God to reveal himself to me more and more day by day. I love the word of God. I love to study the word of God. But this book is just a book unless it's God himself revealing it to me. Our God is a God of revelation. I said, our God is a God of revelation. The Bible talks about the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ. Now, when the New Testament talks about mystery, it's not talking about something that cannot be understood. In the days of the early church, there were many mystery religions. And what that meant was there were things that were hidden until initiates reached a certain level. And then they were given a greater revelation. But for you and I, God wants to reveal himself right here, right now. Our God is a God of revelation. When the word mystery is used in the New Testament, it means that which was hidden but is now revealed. And he wants to prepare us for the things that will come to pass. Now, really, I'm not too concerned about some of the things that take place in the book of Revelation. I believe it's all true. I believe every word of God is true. I believe that what the Bible depicts in the book of Revelation will come to pass. But I believe also that the Bible indicates that the church will not be here on the earth when a lot of that takes place. So what God wants to reveal to me and what God wants to reveal to you are the things that apply to your life and to my life. I know there are some who have the ministry of prophecy or the ministry of teaching, and there are some who are called to teach this kind of message of about prophecy and about end time. Maybe not so many as think so, but there are those. But God wants to reveal himself to you and to me in a way that that helps us understand how we can live this life. Amen. Amen. He wants to show me what's going to come to pass in my life. He wants to reveal himself through his word to me. He wants to reveal himself through his word to you so that you can live your life and know him better. He wants to reveal himself to us through the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. I know God wants us to understand what's going on in the world, at least to the extent that it affects us. I don't think we need to be ignorant of world events or ignorant of the economic situation in the world around us or put our head in the sand and ignore what's happening to our neighbors or those around us. As a matter of fact, I think we ought to be aware of it. Our political world is full of conflict and struggle, people wrestling for power and control. But I don't think there's any one political party that represents the people of God. Don't get me wrong. If you know me, you know I'm plenty political. But there's no party that represents me as a child of God. I said no party that represents me as a child of God. I don't believe that patriotism and Christianity are the same thing. I believe a good Christian is a good patriot, according to the biblical definition. But God wants to reveal himself to me, not through politics, not through political solutions, not through political leaders. God wants to reveal himself to me through the word of God and through the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. I understand we have a difficult economic reality. And the Bible has a solution for us as individuals on how to deal with economic situations. There are principles in God's word. That's what God wants to reveal to me, is how to apply the principles of his word to my life so my economic situation is not dependent on the economic situation of the world around me. Amen. God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to reveal himself to me. God wants to reveal himself to everyone in the city of Madison, to everyone in Dane County. God wants to reveal himself to everyone on the planet Earth because he loves them and he wants to know them and he wants them to know him personally. Our God is a God of revelation. He knows the end from the beginning. He's already in eternity. In my mind, time is a bubble. And it's linear. I was just reading an article about language. And in the Hopi language, there's no concept of present, past, and future. It's a continuum. I don't know how to deal with that. I can't really wrap my head around that. Because my thought process has always been past, present, future. But the Hopi language, the past is merely contained in what's happening right now. And the future is something that is still contained in the present, and might come to pass. But it's all present. It's all related. There's no units of time in their thought process according to the language. But God isn't even bound by the present. Just think about that. He's not bound by the present. He's not stuck in this moment. He knows the end from the beginning. He sees the whole thing. He's outside of the bubble. He's got the whole picture. That's my God. That's the one who wants to reveal himself to me. He's already in eternity. He is, the Bible says, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Neither was there anything made that was not made by him. Amen. He speaks of things that are not as though they already existed. And he wants to reveal himself to you and to me. Let's look at Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Praise God. We serve a great God. And he's not great because we serve him. We serve him because he's great. That's a message in itself, isn't it? He's not great because we serve him. He's not great because he's my God. He's not great because I'm a Pentecostal. He's not great because I attend this church. He's great because he's God. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Genesis 12, verse 1, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What a great promise. Amen. I started reading through the Bible again in the book of Genesis. And I don't know if it's just that my mind is different, or if I read too fast the last couple times I read through, but I'm beginning to understand this book a little different than I have in the past. God's still revealing himself to me through his word. Amen. I guess I won't get into all that, but there are some things here that I just assumed in the past when I read through this about Abram and about Lot and about Abram's father that I'm not sure that my understanding was correct. I believe that God's got more to show me in the book of Genesis, no matter how many times I've read it. God called Abraham. Now notice, God said to Abraham. We sometimes think that we found God, but the fact is that he found us. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came looking for Adam in the garden. And he's here today seeking for someone to reveal himself to in this place tonight. He spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham. The God of eternity, the God of the universe, the God of creation, the beginning and the end, reached into time and touched this man and spoke to him. And he called him. He gave him purpose. He gave him great promises. I've been walking with God for a little while now, and I forget what purpose God gave me when I first came to this thing. Because I was wandering. I was lost. I was the definition of lost. I had no purpose. I had no reason to live. I didn't know where I was going. And God gave me purpose. He called me. He revealed himself to me and gave me a reason to live. He called Abraham. He revealed himself to him. He spoke to him and gave him a great vision of the future. And it was up to Abraham to obey him. That's one thing about our relationship with God. The Bible says it's completely based on faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith without works is dead. Which means that when God speaks to us, when God reveals himself to us, when he meets us at an altar, or he touches us in a church service, or he talks to us in our home, that he expects some kind of response from us. That's why he's revealing himself. Praise God. We must respond to God's word by faith. That's when he fulfills his promises. How many of you have promises from God that you want to see fulfilled in your life? Walk by faith, the Bible says, not by sight. You may not see it, but God has revealed himself to you and spoken his word to your heart, and walk in that promise. Hebrews chapter 1. We read about Abraham, this great man of faith, this great man of God, the father of the faithful, the Bible says, and we read of all these Old Testament saints and these great men of the New Testament, and it seems sometimes so far away, so far removed from our experience. And we go to work, and we sometimes don't make the connection between the Word of God and the life that we're living. We come home and we deal with the stress of raising a family, or paying the bills, or the difficulties that come with sickness and illness and family troubles, and we wonder, how am I supposed to live a Christian life? Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now that I can understand. God spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament. I believe that. That's easy to believe. That God spoke to Elijah, that God spoke to Isaiah, that God spoke to these prophets, because I believe that their words were recorded on purpose by God, and they have great meaning to me. That's easy for us to believe, isn't it? That God in times past spoke to the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hath in these last days spoken unto us. Say, that's me. God's spoken to me. Say that. By his Son. Now, some commentators say that really what it says there is that God has spoken to us in sonship. That it's just the very fact that God came as a man, that through this means of humanity, God spoke to us. He revealed himself. He revealed his care for us. He revealed his concern for us. He revealed himself to us just by the fact that he came as a man. He revealed himself. He speaks to us by the fact that he came in sonship, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise God. I remember... For a long time, I really wanted to see an angel. I thought that would be, you know, the height of spiritual experience. Now, I'm not opposed to that, Lord. Anytime, you know, you want to show me an angel. I actually prayed that one time for a Bible student of mine, and he told me the next week that he woke up in the middle of the night and he saw this guy in armor at the foot of his bed with a giant sword, and it scared him so much that he asked me to stop praying for him. I don't know what he saw. I wasn't there. But maybe he was getting the wrong message. But more important than seeing an angel, more important than having some spiritual vision, I need to have Jesus revealed to me more and more. I need to understand the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what it means when it says that he revealed himself through his Son. That God came and wrapped himself in human flesh and allowed himself to be crucified on a cross, and he gave his very life's blood for my sins so that I could have eternal life. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the thing I must never forget. That's the thing that reveals to me the love of God and helps me to understand how God is working in my life today. Amen. Hallelujah. I love spiritual experiences. I like to shout. I like to dance as much as my knees and back will allow me these days. But he has spoken to us by his Son. He has revealed himself through the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you want to know God better, if you want to be more spiritual, if you want to grow in the kingdom of God, then draw close to the cross. Go to the place where he shed his blood for your sins and get washed all over again. If you want to have peace with the Creator, then go to the cross. If you're in a life that's surrounded by chaos, if you aren't sure what tomorrow holds for you, then I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ will reveal himself to you tonight, and he will give you what you need for tomorrow. If you want to be prepared for the things that are coming your way, then allow the Savior to reveal himself to you again. Hallelujah. The best way to do it, the best way to prepare, the best way to grow is to get to know Jesus Christ. The Bible says if we will draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Hallelujah. I know there's a lot of difficulties in our world today. I know a lot of us are struggling to make ends meet. I know that there's difficulties in our homes. I know that these things exist. God spoke to Abraham. I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't say that how God spoke to him in this case. Doesn't make it clear whether he appeared to him in a visible form or whether he spoke to him out of the sky or what. We don't know, but Abraham responded to the word of God. God spoke to John the Apostle, the Bible says, by the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. If we want to hear from God, it will be from the word of God. Amen. I don't have to wait for God to meet me on a hilltop somewhere. I don't have to wait for God to meet me when I've dug a well. I don't need to wait for God to meet with me after I've slaughtered bulls or goats or sheep or anything like that. All I have to do is get on my knees and pray, call on the name of Jesus Christ, open up the Bible, and God promises to reveal himself to me and speak to me from his word. Too often when things go wrong in our lives, too often when things get rough, when things get difficult, we look elsewhere for help. We leave the Bible on the shelf and we go looking for solutions in other places. Somebody say amen. We deviate from God's will and God's word. We have financial problems, and we work more and give less, and miss church. All right, we'll leave that alone. I said we. We have relationship problems. And we listen to Dr. Phil and Oprah. And we go to the Christian bookstore, or we go to the family counselor that has no connection with the Word of God. I'm not against counsel. I'm not against study. I'm not against reading. But this is not our last resort. It should be our first resort. Our family has difficulty, our spouse or our children stray, and we compromise the word of God. We make exceptions in our lives. We allow things that we know are not right. Now, I'm not saying that you can control your adult child. I'm not saying that you can absolutely control your teenager. If you think you can, you're being fooled. Either by yourself or somebody else. I understand that everybody has their own will, has their own choice. They make their own choices. But the fact is, that doesn't mean I have to change the way I live my life because someone I love isn't living for God. Amen. That's when I need to draw near to God. That's when I need to get into the Word of God. That's when I need to remember who's the one that paid the price for my sins. That's when I need to remember who filled me with His Spirit, who revealed Himself to me and gave me exceeding great and precious promises. If we're going to know how to deal with the things that are going to come upon us, that are going to come in my life, I don't know what I would do if I was in the book of Revelation and a great plague came across the land. I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I would deal with it. But I do know that tomorrow I have to get up in the morning and come to work, and somehow I have to live a Christian life. So I'm going to find out what God has to say to me tonight and tomorrow so that I can deal with the things that come my way. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have to trust in the saving grace and the cleansing blood and the forgiving power and the faithful provision and the ever-present help in time of need that comes with the testimony of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. He has promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. Say that. I will never leave you or forsake you. Say never. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, the Bible says. He's called Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And the song says that His grace is sufficient for me. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. I have been in the place where I wondered where my next meal was coming from. I have been in the place where I wondered how I was going to pay rent. But God has been faithful to me, and He has dug me out of deep, deep holes, and He has made a way for me. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God does not promise that we will not see hard times. But when we see hard times, that is when we need to rely on the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. His testimony is this: that He gave His life on Calvary's hill. He shed precious blood for my sins, and He poured out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost so that I could have eternal life. This is the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ is that He will never, 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 never leave me or forsake me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. God wants to give someone faith tonight. God wants to speak to someone tonight. God wants to reveal Himself to you tonight. It may be difficult for you to receive it, but reach out right now. Worship the Lord. Reach out and call on the name of Jesus. Let Him show Himself faithful to you in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Genesis 15. Presence of the Lord is here. Genesis 15, 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. 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 And he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. When it says after these things, that's following the battle that Abram went to against the four kings, I think it is, or the three kings, or more kings than he wanted. And he won a great battle, and he gave tithes, the Bible says, to Melchizedek. And then he turned to God. He said, Okay, God, now what about me? Come on, that's what he said. He said, Now what about me? Be honest. How many times have you gone to God and said, Okay, God, now what about me? This is the Father of the faithful. This is real life. That's one of the things about the Word of God, is that it tells the truth. Abram was starting to wonder, Okay, God, there's a lot going on here, but I don't see any son yet, and you promised. God said, it's not Eliezer. It's not the thing that you see. It's not the thing that you can imagine. It's not the thing that your logic tells you it's going to be. I've got something else in store for you. And too often we get to the point where we want to question God, and we're even afraid to even question God, or we don't have enough faith to go to God. You know, if you trust in someone, you will tell them the truth. If you love someone and you're unhappy about something, you should trust them enough to go tell them what the problem is. That's what faith is. Abram believed that God could handle it. And he said, God, I got a problem here. I don't understand. How many of you are waiting on a promise? I don't understand, God. Years have passed. But look at what happened here. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. It's the same story. God came to Abram. And then Abram told him what was on his mind. God came to Abram. I'm convinced that we miss many, many, many opportunities to talk to God. That God comes to us oftentimes when we don't even recognize it. And he deals with us. He gives us a word. He speaks to our heart. He puts us in a place where we need to cry out and we don't. Or we go to someone else for help instead of looking to him. God came to Abram. Years have passed since he was called. Years have passed since he was given this promise of a son. And he said, God, I don't see it. These eyes do not see it. And God confirms his word. A lot of times that's all we're going to get from God, is he's going to take us to his word and say, Listen, I have promised and I will do what I said. The Bible says that Abram believed it and God counted it for righteousness. Then Abram, verse 9. Abram went a little further. Verse 8, I'm sorry. He said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit? How do I know, God? How do I know? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took on him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And he lists the people that are there, and he said, All of that is going to be yours. Abram said, How do I know God? And God gave him a vision. God gave him an answer. God showed him what he was going to do. But he didn't just show him a little bit. He showed him a lot. He showed him a lot more than what he was expecting, I think. He went 400 years and more into the future, and he told him where it was going to be, and he told him how long it was going to be, and he promised him that he was going to do it. What did Abraham do? Abraham worshiped. Abraham trusted God, and God responded and showed him what he was going to do. God has in store for you and me, for every one of us, exceeding great and precious promises. If only we will go to him when we are wondering, when we are doubting, when we are fearing, we will take our cares to him. The Bible says we can cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. Hallelujah! When you're most confused, when you're most fearful, when you're most doubting, is the time that you need to go to the Lord and offer up the sacrifices of praise, even the fruit of our lips, and it's then that he will show you what he has in store for you. Hallelujah! God wants to reveal himself to us. I said, God wants to reveal himself to us. We want what God has for us, but God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to trust in his word. He wants us to know that he has a plan for his people. He's got a plan for this church. He's got a plan for the church of God in the earth today, but he has a plan for every one of us in this room. He has given us exceeding great and precious promises. He has a plan for you. You can cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. God has more for you than you can imagine. God has more for you than you can envision. God has great things in store for his people. Let's stand. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Exceeding great and precious promises. The promises of God are yea, and in him, amen. The promises of God say yea. The promises of God are yay. That means yes. And in him, say in him. In him, amen. Praise God. That means that if you want the promises of God, you need to make sure you get into him. He wants to do great things for you. He wants to do great things for me. Hallelujah. Abraham, when he was waiting on God, God came to him. God's coming to us here tonight. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. He's got a plan. Colossians 1:23 says this: if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister. Paul said, this is why I'm here. Remember, if you continue in the faith, he said, where am I a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The word of God. Everyone say the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. Are you a saint of God? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. Whatever difficulty, whatever struggle, whatever trial you're dealing with tonight, remember you have something that's greater than any situation you can encounter, and that's Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. And he promises he will never leave you or forsake you. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you seeking a promise from God? Then I'm asking you to offer up the sacrifices of praise, to draw near to him so he can draw nigh to you. Let the promises of God be unto you, yea, and in him, amen. Praise God. Renew your commitment. Renew your walk with God. Renew your faith in him, and he will show you the things that you can do. He will show you what is coming your way, and he will provide everything you need in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.